have not been able to have a quiz since November because every week that it was supposed to be quiz time, we had snow. So they gave us a chance to do an extra quiz. So on the way to Carthage, we did what we called a shuttle quiz. And we did a quiz just like the kids would have done had they been there, except we didn't do their memory work. If you all would come up here. It had been since November, and so we started out with our quiz. We had two more quizzers with us, but Madison got a silver on our shuttle quiz. MJ got a gold on our shuttle quiz. Oh, that's not yours. Not mine. He also got one perfect round. Two perfect rounds. And he did the 7-Up Challenge. Okay. Jacqueline got an all-star gold on our shuttle quiz with three perfect rounds. And she also got the 7-Up Challenge. Then Friday night when we got there, they got to go swimming. Then we went to the church, and they did a skit. They had all of the churches do a skit or puppets or something to show what they had learned, show some story from the book of Genesis. And out of 11 teams, our kids made second place. So, Jacqueline, MJ, and Madison. So then, Saturday morning, we started, and some of the kids did memory work on Friday night, and Kate got all 20 of her memory verses, and then everybody else did their memory work on Saturday, and MJ did his required ones. That was 11 memory verses. Was this for memory verses? For what? Oh, perfect round. Okay. Jacqueline got all 20 memory verses. And that one's yours too. Then Kate did all 20 and Gabby did the required. So then they did their quiz. And on their quiz, Gabby got a silver, Madison got a gold, and did you take your card home? And she received a chance to go to the North Central Regional Quiz May 17th. Did you have perfect round? Okay. She also had one perfect round. Okay. MJ had gold, his required memory work, and got his regional card. Did you take yours home?
No.
Okay, so that one must be yours. Jacqueline got a gold, one perfect round, and a chance to go to regionals. So we took five quizzers. Kate got a gold, all 20 memory verses. She won a 7-Up Challenge and also got the regionals. So we took five kids who all qualified for regionals. We got second place in our skit, and we had a wonderful time. Oh, and there were 12 teams during the quiz, and they got fifth place in the thing. So, I'll give them to him. Okay. Friday, Gabby got a silver, and she did her memory work for the required on Saturday, and she got her silver, and she qualified. Kate got a gold on our chattel quiz. They also got ribbons for second place for our quiz, for our thing.
What?
No, for our skit. Kate got 7-Up, all 20 memory verses, and gold. So we came home with a whole pile of stuff. Okay, want to say a memory verse before you go?
Yes. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Very good. Thanks.
The very last one.
The very last one? I don't remember.
Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Genesis 6:9b.
The one she just did.
Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Hebrews 11:8.
I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Genesis 9:13.
This is also Kate's last year to quiz with us. I did not get their bars and their pens in time, so they will be getting those.
Was there an envelope on my desk?
Okay. I will give them their bars and their pens after church. Kate did get to practice with the teen quizzers yesterday, and so next year she's planning on quizzing with the teens.
Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. Good morning. It is great to see all of you that could manage to brave the weather this morning. I mean, we had a great, nice, warm week up until about 12 o'clock last night, and then it's, hey, it's Sunday, let's have some cold weather. So I don't know what the deal is, but it seems like it's been a roller coaster of a winter, and I will be glad to see it gone and a steady diet of some warm weather. It's supposed to be back in the 50s tomorrow, so maybe it'll decide to last from here on out, but we'll see. But we do want to say good morning and welcome to you. How many of you heard Pastor say we're going to have kind of a condensed service this morning? We're going to have worship and no sermon. We'll see. We'll see. But we are going to be condensing services this morning. We are going to dismiss services tonight. As far as small groups to goes, group leaders and hosts, we're going to leave that up to you all. Get with the rest of your small group and let them know if you are indeed going to still have it or not. So this afternoon, make a call. Text, email, that way you can let your group know what your decision is. Turn with me to your bulletins real quick. I'm going to touch on just a few. The first one being, if you got your bulletin this morning, on the back of your guest registration, there is the results of our annual ballot meeting. It'll tell you who was elected to the different positions that were open. If you are a part of the newly elected board, we are going to have an extremely brief meeting directly following service. So if your name is under that church board member, you'll need to stay. And then if you are a department head, whether that's Sunday school, NYI, or NMI, you also need to stay very briefly following service. As we said, dismissing services for tonight. Tomorrow evening, church board meeting at 7 o'clock for the new board and those director heads. Wednesday, regular scheduled service. This Thursday, for you senior adults, will be potluck with the pastor. Matt Krause is the new Parks Board Director. He will be your guest speaker. And then this Saturday, Books and Brunch, 9:30 to 2 p.m. Those are for children's ages 1st grade through 6th grade. And then next Sunday is our last Sunday of the month. So we will be having our dogs luncheon. So remember, that's right, it is the 4th Sunday. But remember to bring a food dish, and we will stay and celebrate our visitors and our birthdays and anniversaries. And the last announcement I have is for the Ladies Fellowship. If you have a nomination letter for the Giggles Council, or you have a secret sister questionnaire, they would like for you to get those in by next Sunday. If you haven't received a form for the Secret Sister questionnaire, you can see Mindy Caldwell, and she can get one of those to you. But those forms are all due in by next Sunday if you can. That's all I've got.
Why don't we make greeting time just kind of turn and greet somebody where they're
at? Yeah, instead of just front, back, side to side, shake hands this morning.
Okay, I'm going to share a few quick prayer requests with you from our missions department. I haven't done this in a while, but for the whole month of March, there are 6 locations
going on in church planting training. And these are in various locations around USA and Canada. So if you would just remember to pray for church planting locations. There's 6 of them. Pray for the leaders and directors that are involved in all of this and these meetings. And then we have missionaries Jose David and Luz Mary Acosta serving in Peru. They have requested prayer for 3 pastors that are needed on their district. And they are also trying to install a theological education center on their district. And they're asking for prayers for their family in Venezuela and family in Peru, which especially includes their daughters. It doesn't give anything else about that. But remember Jose David and Luz Mary Acosta. And Manuel and Lydia Lima are in Brazil, and they are sending a praise and want us to be thankful with them. They ended their church year with 708 members on their district, which is a growth of 31%. And their goal for this next year is 1,000 members. So they would like for us to pray with them as they work on that. It's Manuel and Lydia Lima in Brazil. And then another thing, and a lot of you have probably been seeing these things on the news, but Linda Russell, who is serving in Russia, has asked us to pray for those affected by the unrest in Ukraine and Russia's current position. And, you know, like I said, if you've been watching the news, you've been seeing a lot of the tragedy that's been going on there. So if you just remember these and all of our other missionaries throughout your week, that would be great.
Going to make the offering taking real short and sweet this morning. Open your billfolds or your pocketbooks and get the largest bill you have. And when the offering plate comes by, put it in. Only joking, tithes and offerings we receive each week. Like to have our ushers come at this time. Gerald, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that we can come together to study your word and to
yes,
hear your
Lord.
Sermon. Now, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have to give back a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. Now, we ask that you watch over and care for all of us throughout the remainder of this day. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to continue to be mindful of those things that are within the prayer list of your bulletin. Then there are a couple of items that that have come to us this morning. In addition to that, we've been asked to remember the grandson of Roger and Pat Sutherland. His name is Brett. He was just diagnosed with leukemia, and they are actually in transit to St. Jude's Hospital as we speak. And so if you would remember Brett, that would be appreciated. And then Virginia Owens' daughter, Gwen, is to have a surgery tomorrow. Virginia, is that right? All right. And so she'll be having surgery tomorrow. Remember her. And Virginia would appreciate that so very, very much. And then I'm just going to ask if these folks would come forward here to the altar this morning. Ben Shelton, Troy Brooks, Steve Kravitz, Pat Stevens, Chris Downing, Scott Raper, Mary Willard, and John Brownwood, if you're here and would come. We just want to pray for our church leadership for the coming year. The board meeting tomorrow night will be the final board meeting with the old board. This board will meet beginning in April, and so they will be your leadership for the new church year. Looks like several of them have stepped out into other responsibilities this morning, but we want to be praying for these, our church leaders. And so would you stand with me this morning, and as we sing together, then if you have need of these altars, you feel free to come and find a place that you can kneel, and whether it be lifting up praise or laying down a burden, you feel free to find your place with God this morning, and to have a place of prayer. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We're thankful for the honor of being called your children. We thank you for bearing the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as Christians. Father, we are here on purpose this morning because we love you. We want to lift up our praise to you. We want to worship you. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus, that you would give us guidance and directions for our lives. We want to know your word better. We want to be more familiar with your voice. We want to be a field to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we want to be victorious in our walk. We want to be unashamed in our witness. And Lord, we pray that you would just indeed allow us to be Jesus to the world we come in contact with in this coming week. We thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for forgiveness and grace and mercy. We thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that gives us not only wisdom, but the power to overcome the situations of this life, to get past discouragement and defiance and some of the things that we come up against in this life, that indeed we have the strength to get past the storms and the situations, and that we can indeed be victorious. I was just reading in a devotion yesterday about the eagle who rides the winds of the storms that destroy other things below, but it lifts them above the clouds and above the storm and up into the sunlight. Father, that's where we want to be going. We want to have our eyes on the sun, the S-O-N. And Lord, we want to look to you this morning to find our guidance, our provision, our protection. Lord, we pray that whatever the situations are, that indeed you would be in the midst of them this morning. Bless our folks as they're driving home. We pray, Father, that you would touch those who are sick and unable to be with us, those who will be facing surgeries and other issues this week. Be with this family traveling to St. Jude's now with this grandson that indeed is being diagnosed with leukemia. Lord, we don't know every situation that everyone faces this morning, but you do. And so, Lord, we have every confidence that you said we could come into the throne room with boldness and to ask for your help in our time of need. And so, Lord, we are dependent upon you. And we thank you for your blessing in our life and your watch care over us. Now, Father, we pray that you'd bless this new board as they lead us into the coming year. that indeed that you will see us win new souls, that you will see us proclaim the gospel, that you'll see us reach out to human need, that through the kingdom and the cause of Jesus Christ, that Nixa Church of the Nazarene will make a difference in their community. Lord, that we will make a difference and we'll lift up Jesus so that he can draw all people into himself. Lord, have your will and your way in the furtherance of this service in our lives, and we give you praise. And all God's people said, amen.
I'm sure you're all familiar with the Bible story where Jesus walked out on the water to the boat where the fishermen were and Peter, and he told Peter it was okay to step out of the boat and walk with him. This always happens when I try to talk before I sing. The song is new in the last few months. It has to do with having the faith to walk out. I've had Mike, he was kind enough to put some of the words to the song up on the board. When I get to that part, it repeats several times, so you'll have time to learn it, sing it with me, or at least you'll have the words in front of you.
On the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence. presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Thank you, Rhonda, so much for that beautiful song. The great message that God is with us in all situations and all things. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Psalms chapter 66. You may have heard me make reference in a prayer in the last couple of weeks to the Lego movie. The theme song of the Lego movie. And my grandson now sings this multiple times a day, is everything is awesome when you're part of a team. And I am glad this morning to be part of God's team. I am glad this morning to be God's child. I am glad this morning to be in God's family. I know that God is awesome. Now, when you turn to Psalms chapter 66 and you begin to read together this passage, as we look at it, in the third verse it says, "How awesome are your deeds." Now, I love that word. There are times that, you know, I enjoy the reading of the King James. This is one of those times that to the current culture, if they haven't kept up with language changes, it might have a whole different connotation, because if you look in the King James Version of the Bible at this particular verse, it says, "How terrible art thou?" Well, that's a little different meaning now than "how awesome are you?" You know, so this is one of those places, I think, where the update of the language probably gives us a much greater understanding. But let's read this 66th chapter together this morning. "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome His works in man's behalf. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in Him. He rules forever by His power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against Him. Praise our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For You, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to Your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to You. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to You with an offering of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for you. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me." What a fantastic passage of Scripture. I don't know about you, but it's been a long, dreary, hard winter. And when you come through a long, hard winter, sometimes we're a little worn out. We're a little tired. We haven't had enough sunlight to get really charged up. You know, if we're on solar energy, we're running a little weak. We're a little dim. And indeed, we just need to know that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. We need to know that whatever the situation is in our hearts and lives, that God is more than able to take care of us. The word awesome means inspiring awe. That helped you a lot, didn't it? It means to have respectful fear that's inspired by authority. It's understanding that while we want to be in fear of the Lord in a positive kind of way, we don't have to be scared of Him, but we indeed need to know that God is in charge and what He says is the way it ought to be. And that He has all kinds of things that He wants to do for us. I love that chorus that came out several years ago that says, "Our God is an awesome God. He reigns with power on high." I want to very quickly to you this morning share some verses of Scripture, and we're going to kind of roll through these, Mike, and I'll just kind of try to read them off of the screens, and that'll keep me from having to look them up here in my Bible, and I'll stay with you, and you can read them with me. But I just want to touch base this morning as we try to condense this to remind you of what is at your access as a child of God, and then we want to conclude by telling you the one thing that God asked back of you. These are all the benefits that indeed are available to you this morning. First, our awesome God has almighty power. The word almighty means having absolute power over all. How many of you remember those days when you would get into discussions on the playground and there was a, "My dad is bigger than your dad," or "My dad is stronger than your dad," or "My dad"? Well, let me tell you, our dad is bigger, better, stronger, whatever adjectives you can think of, He's all of them. He is almighty. His power is absolute over all. Listen to these two passages this morning. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." It doesn't matter what you're up against. Doesn't matter what the situation is. There is not a situation your God can't handle. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Who wouldn't want to have for their father, who wouldn't want to have on their side someone who nothing was impossible for them to accomplish? How many times in your life have you been up against situations or been in places where the enemy would try to say to you, "You just don't have what it takes here. You're not going to make it. This is going to be the end of you. This is going to be your doom. This is going to be your finale." Our God has nothing that's impossible to Him. Our God has nothing that's too hard for Him. There is not a life situation that come that God can't deliver us from, because not only does He have almighty power, but He also has abundant resources. You know what the word abundant means? It means more than enough. More than enough. So whatever your need is, God has more than enough. Listen to Psalms 24:1 this morning. We're familiar with it. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." How much more is there? Isn't that everything? Everything is God's. He doesn't lack for any resources. Listen to Psalms chapter 50, verses 9 and 10. I want you to read this with me out loud. "I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills." God has everything to supply your needs. Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament reminds us, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you know what your greatest need is? Your greatest need is to know Jesus. Your greatest need is to be forgiven and to have place in heaven. And God has already supplied that need through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. But the wonderful thing is if everything about the earth is His, if the cattle on 1,000 hills and everything in this temporal domain are His, then don't you think He's able to supply whatever your needs are? He has almighty power. He has abundant resources, and He has astounding love. The word astounding means to be filled with bewildered wonder. Do you ever wonder why God sent his son? John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, "As for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Did you ever just ask yourself, why did he do that? Do you ever just get to the point to say, I didn't really deserve that? And to understand that we're in bewilderment, that we have bewildered wonder because God did it because he wanted to, because he loves us. It's an astounding love. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, we read, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But then he went right on and said, "But not my will, but thine be done." And he went to the cross and he gave his life for you and me. No greater love. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this day, you have received the greatest love that is possible in the world. An astounding love. And not only is there astounding love, but there's amazing grace. How many times have we sang that song? Can I just ask you this question? Does that song ever get old to you? It's an old song, but the truth never gets old, does it? Isn't it great every time you sing that song to be thinking that indeed God's grace is amazing? The word grace has been explained at times as God's riches at Christ's expense. It's defined as unmerited favor. The word amazing means to be overwhelmed with wonder. And the truth of the matter is, when we look at what God gave for what he was going to get, doesn't that make you wonder? He has amazing grace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "For by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" And he went on to say in 2 Corinthians, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." That grace that God had for us, he put within us so that we could extend that grace to others in difficult situations, that we could indeed give them that same mercy. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Every one of us can experience this grace, receive this grace, and share this grace. If indeed we call ourselves Christians, we need to be extending to others what God has given to us. He has almighty power, abundant resources, astounding love, amazing grace, and the promise we have is his abiding presence. Listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." How many of you are here this morning and you've never been discouraged? God says, don't be discouraged. I'm with you. I'm with you. In Psalms 139, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." You cannot escape God's wonderful presence. I heard a story a long time ago about an enthusiastic little boy who had come to church, but his preacher was known to be a little bit long-winded, and so he had to pass by a little fast food place on the way to church, and he stopped in and he bought a hamburger and he put it in his pocket in case the sermon went a little long. And he got down on the front pew, and that morning the preacher was preaching about God's wonderful presence. He says, "I want you to know that God is everywhere." And the little boy reached down his pocket and said, "God, please don't eat my hamburger." He's everywhere, at all times. A wonderful, abiding presence. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20 assures us that he is with us always to the very end of the age. How many of you will confess this morning? How many will confess? Raise your hand and say, there's been times I kind of wondered if God was anywhere close by. Yeah. But the promise of the Word is, even when we feel that way, we can't always trust our feelings, can we? We have to stick with what we know to be the facts. And the facts are that we have an abiding presence, and God said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he would be with us always. The word abide means to dwell in or to remain with. So here we are this morning. No matter what the situation, whatever we might be encountering in our life, to know that we have an awesome God who has almighty power, abundant resources, astounding love, amazing grace, and an abiding presence. And so a God who has all of that and would offer all of that to us, what do you think he wants from us? Can you imagine what God, the one thing that God might ask of us is? Now you're going to understand that I went on a little stretch here because I was looking for A words. But the meaning is correct. It's just not a word we use a lot. What God wants from you this morning is an abdicated heart. An abdicated heart. You know what that means? The word abdicate means to give up. Literally, it says to give up formally, and then it said in parentheses in the dictionary, like a throne. Wow, that got me excited because I could remember when I was a kid growing up, they used to have this sermon and the preacher would back then they didn't have screens and that kind of stuff, and they finally once in a while they would use a marker board maybe, and the preacher got up and he drew a big old circle on the marker board. And then he drew a chair on the marker board. And then he drew a cross in the circle, and then he drew a little stick man. And then beside that, he drew another circle, and he said, now this is what your heart looks like. And he took that little stick man, and he set him on that throne, on that chair. And the cross was over here. He said, now this is how your life is when you're not a Christian. It's also how your life is when you first become a Christian. You're on the throne of your life. He said, here's where you want to get to, and he drew a third circle. And in that third circle, he took that chair and he took the stick man off that chair and he put him back over here down by, and he put the cross on that chair. He said, this is what your life ought to look like. You ought to have God on the throne of your heart. God needs to be in charge. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says to us, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, to surrender. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He wants to be on the throne. We can't be trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom and just be trying to split allegiance. We have to make up our mind that we indeed are going to be dedicated to God. An abdicated heart means to give up. It means to yield. The word yield means to give up, to give way, to give place, to be flexible, submissive, compliant, to surrender. I had an experience for the first time in my life. I'd experienced it in some small measure here in the United States. How many of you have ever driven on an interstate? How many of you have ever driven on an interstate near a large metropolitan area? How many of you have ever been on an on-ramp or an off-ramp that possessed a yield sign and somebody couldn't read it? Well, it's bad enough in America, but let me tell you, if you've never been, you ought to go to Rome. This is a picture of traffic in Rome. When you're in traffic in Rome, sometimes every street has its own name for short distances. I mean, like every block, every street has a different name. If you go from this block to this block on the same street, it's a different name in this block to this block. And they kind of curve, and some of them are one ways, and others are the other ways, and they're that way because when the cities were really old, because we have like less than 300 years of history here, but they have like 3,000 plus over there, and some of the roads are just, you know, the same places that they used to be, and they just built stuff around them. And so some roads only go one way because you can only get one car in them. And then they have some two- and three-lane things, and interestingly enough, they might have this three-lane thing coming here and this two-lane thing coming here and a couple lanes here, but then there's two lanes right there and everybody's going on those two lanes. Interestingly enough, you don't see very many dents. You don't see very many collisions. For the people over there historically have been this way their whole lives, and they've learned how to drive. And see these scooter guys, these motorcycle guys? They always have the right of way in their own minds. So wherever a motorcycle will fit, if you come up to a red light or if you come up to a place where traffic slows and people are supposed to be yielding, what immediately happens, it's kind of like pouring water into a container that has some solid objects in it. They just kind of bleed through the cracks. And they'll slap on the windows and beep horns. And when you pull up to the stoplight, they just fill in the gaps. But interestingly enough, people seem to understand yielding. Now, they like their horns. They use them a lot. But they understand how to yield. And people just keep working. And, you know, every once in a while, somebody will have some verbal communication with you. But for the most part, it's amazing how it works. Because they've learned how to yield. They've learned how to give up. Now, some people haven't learned how to give up, and you have to yield to them. You know, I mean, there's a few people that they're just always shooting the gaps. And those motorcycle guys, man, they come. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like ants. You ever seen ants at a picnic? You know, when you went away to play and you were going to come back and have the rest of that sandwich, and when you got back, the ants got to it before you did. And I mean, they're just coming from everywhere. That's kind of how those motorcycle guys are when the traffic light goes. It's just like ants fiddling in. They just come from everywhere. But what God wants from us, in order for us to receive all of that blessing that He has, we just need to yield our hearts. We need to abdicate the throne of our lives to Him. And all of the blessings and the benefits of God are at our access. He is indeed an awesome God. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, can we take communion today? It's just a time to afresh and anew say to God, I yield. I yield to you. I give up. I surrender. You're in charge. You're on the throne. Pastor Don, if you'll come and join me this morning. This is the Lord's table. It's for His disciples. Let all who have received Jesus Christ into their heart and life come and join us at this table. If you're new here this morning, we remind you that church membership has nothing to do with communion in the Church of the Nazarene. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is what's required to sit at this table. We welcome you into our fellowship. We welcome you to the family table today to share in this communion, which we do in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. We're going to pray in just a moment, and then we're going to ask these two groups to come this way and these two groups to come this way. Hold the elements as you return to your seat, and then we'll all receive them together at one time. But just let this be a time that as you come by and as you're meditating, thank God for His blessings. Thank God for all of His benefits. Man, some wonderful things that are available to us from God. And all it takes is for us to yield. That's hard sometimes. We're not good yielders always. Sometimes we want to try to beat that guy to the spot, and sometimes we're kind of that way. We don't want to give up. This morning, let's just be a time to say, Lord, I yield. I surrender. My life is yours. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. Indeed, He will be a blessing to us. Let's stand together this morning as we pray. Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity to gather. We pray that in these closing moments we can focus for just a second. Protect us from the elements when it comes time to go home. But for the moment, just let us focus on You. And truly yield our lives to You. Let the reception of these elements this morning be a commitment that we want to be a yielded heart, an abdicated throne, and that we are giving You praise and honor and glory for saving our souls, forgiving our sins, and placing Your Spirit within us. We love You. We thank You. If there's anything in our life that's unlike You this morning, Father, we ask You to remove it. We confess it to You. We give it to You. Cleanse and purify our hearts. make us ready to sit at the table with you. We're called to holiness. We want your holiness to bleed through our lives into the lives of others, that they can see who and how you really are. Thank you. We owe you everything. You've asked us for nothing except to let you have our lives. Lord, continue to teach us how to yield and surrender completely every day. It's in your name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. We invite you to come and to receive the elements this morning. And then upon direction, we'll receive them together. Well, in the words of a Southern gospel songwriter, ain't God good? To give us so many blessings, undeserving as we are. All of those benefits, he reminds us of many times. To the Lord, today, we give an abdicated heart. We yield the throne. We give up our lives. Why? Because his body was broken for us. Take and eat this in remembrance that he suffered for you, and be thankful. And his blood flowed. And now that blood flows through our veins. We are joint heirs with Jesus, the children of God. Take and drink this with joy in your heart. We'd like to meet in the classroom back here to the west with the new church board, the newly elected people. May God be with you today. We want you to be safe. to be warm. Gather your family around tonight about church time. Have a word of prayer. Read a scripture. Honor God on His day. May His love flow in your hearts. May His countenance shine upon your face. And may you make a difference to all whom you meet.